The following broadcast is a presentation of the Mountford Free Methodist Church in Decatur, Illinois. Join us Sundays at 8:15 and 10:45 a.m. or visit us on the web at decaturfmc.org.
Good morning, Mountford. Happy Freedom Sunday. Thank you so much to Pastor Paul for allowing this to take place here today. It's definitely a blessing to share this event with so many other churches around the U.S. and also in our own city, which is really exciting to see more churches recognizing the need to celebrate freedom and stand against human trafficking. And I don't want to highlight the darkness today. That's not why we're here. It is happening, and the work that our Set Free team does has continued to reveal that truth in our own city. So the need to be in prayer over this is great. There's a lot of work that needs to be done in preparing our agencies to support these individuals when they're ready to be rescued. So keep those things in mind, and I'll be in the lobby to talk more with you if you have questions. I wanted to kind of share really quickly about why would someone get involved in anti-human trafficking? And that's a question that I would have asked myself 3 years ago because I fought it. I didn't really want to do this. I wasn't interested in leading a group like this. God had different plans. Maybe some of you are familiar with that struggle in your own life. And deciding to obey God despite that resistance. And one of the things that's really stood out to me in this process, when you see the brokenness around you, the blessings of your life just seem to be even more magnified. And that was the case for me. I grew up in a loving Christian home in the church and decided to keep that as a part of my life through high school and college, and pursuing a relationship with God was a very important thing for me. And through that, I've received a lot of blessings and a lot of peace and a lot of freedom in my life, freedom from what could have been, if that makes sense. And maybe some of you have a similar story, and maybe some of you have experienced grace in another way. And I just see that God's grace in my life has compelled me to do something about it. That it wasn't just for me that I received these blessings and this freedom, that it's also compelling me to lead this group of people in our community to understand what the problem is and to know how to find solutions and how to help these individuals that are caught up in a life of slavery, either through sex slavery or through labor slavery in our city and in our world today. And hopefully that helps you understand why someone would choose to get involved in this. And maybe that's not what God's grace is compelling you to do or what he has compelled you to do. I just encourage you to be obedient to that in whatever way that means in your life today. Getting out of your comfort zone. We're going to have an opportunity to do that with Pastor Paul's message today. And I just encourage you, the freedom that you find on the other side is going to be worth it. And the song I believe we're going to sing after this coming up was written by a man, maybe you've heard this story before, who was actually involved in human trafficking back in the day. It was called slave trading. And I want you to remember as you listen to this song, as you sing this song, that there's no one beyond the redemption of God. Even the most evil person you can think of, maybe in your life, maybe in this world, is not beyond God's redemption. And thinking about the cost of grace in your life, what has it meant in your life? And what is this grace that God has given you compelling you?
When I went to college, for a couple of years, I was an RD or an RA, And during those years, the college, Greenville College, would always take our group out on what they called a walkabout trip. They would give us all packs, and they would tell us to bring just a very few changes of clothes, and we needed to carry our pack and our food and our clothes and our tents with us. And so the group that I was on the first time, we had a couple of people that got injured on the first day. And so they could no longer carry their packs. And so for myself and a couple of other guys, they just continued to put weight in our packs. And if you can imagine, we're going through the Smoky Mountains and walking up hills and down hills, and my pack continually got bigger and bigger and bigger to a point where I believe my pack weighed about 115 pounds that I was carrying. It was so heavy that I could no longer put it on myself. I had to have other people, as I braced myself, to put the pack on me, and I stood there, and I got my balance, and I said, okay, let's walk up the hill. And so it was tough, and that entire week, I was carrying this pack around, and I felt like it was hindering me, until the very end, where once we got off of the mountain, it was their normal routine that once we get off the mountain, everyone would take their packs off, and then we would go running a couple of miles. And I could tell you, I'm not a runner, but it felt free. I felt I didn't have this thing holding on to me anymore, dragging me down as I went up and down the hills. I felt like I could run freely. And the truth is, there are many people today, many of you, who feel like you are running this race or going through this life with this pack on your back holding you down, this bondage that you feel. Maybe it's anxiety, maybe it's a burden, maybe it's unforgiveness, maybe it's bitterness or anger. Maybe it's a sin, but you have this thing that's on your back that's holding you down, and you're saying, it is exhausting. I know how it feels. It is exhausting to walk around with this pack on my back. But yet, this morning, luckily, we do not serve a God of bondage, but we serve a God of freedom. And he is here. And I believe this morning, for some of you, he's going to take that pack off. And he's going to say, now go and run. Go and walk freely. Go and do the things that you need to do without anything holding you down. Because I've cut off those chains. You are no longer in bondage anymore. We're going through the sermon series, 7 Words to Change Your Family, and this week I specifically hit on the topic of forgiveness. Because the truth is, there are many people who struggle with forgiveness. Maybe many of you. Maybe you have something or someone in your life that maybe you don't think about it all the time. Maybe it's every day where you think about it. But deep down inside, in the root, in the core of your being, there is bitterness and anger. There is unforgiveness for someone who did something to you or said something to you. And maybe for some of you, you're holding on to this bondage, this unforgiveness for way too long. Several years back, I did a funeral. And at the funeral, before the funeral, I always sit down with the family and talk with them. And in doing that, I was sitting down with the widower who I was very close with. and talking to the family of saying, you know, how are you guys doing? What are some things that you would like a part of the service? And she said and made it adamant from the very beginning. She said, Pastor, I want you to know and I want the family to know that I have a daughter, and if she ever comes to this funeral, I am calling the cops to drag her away. And so I was trying to help her through this process and trying to help her to understand, I know maybe she has done something to you in the past, but even though she maybe didn't have a great relationship with her father is still laying in that casket and is still struggling. She said, no, this person cannot come. So I said, it's your wishes. The day of the visitation, I was able to pray with her. And she said, she turned to me and said, if you feel like my daughter can come and not be in the way, maybe I'll allow it to happen. And I said, oh, I'll go with that. Okay. So I called her daughter and I said, hey, meet me at the door. You can come. She wanted to come. So she came. I wish I could tell you that at that funeral, I was able to bring both together and they loved each other. It didn't happen that way. Actually, the entire funeral, I felt like I was the bodyguard in between the two, trying to calm the widower down, trying to lead her away from her own daughter that she struggled with for so long. There's a movie that I watched not too long ago called Amish Grace. It's a movie that was based on a true story of several years ago when a gunman came and held the schoolhouse hostage for that Amish community. And in that movie, people were amazed of the grace and the forgiveness that the Amish showed towards this man and towards this man's family. This man shot and killed five of their girls that day. And one Amish said in the movie, why is everyone all surprised? It's just standard Christian forgiveness. It's what everyone should be doing. And then another man named Eli said, refusing to forgive is not an option. It's just a normal part of our living. Let me ask you this question. Is forgiveness a normal part of your living? Families that forgive know how to live. You see, what people don't realize, if there is a bitterness or anger or unforgiveness that people are holding on to, the main person it affects is you. Because you're holding on to this grudge, you're holding on to this bondage, you're carrying this pack of 115 pounds everywhere that you go, and it's exhausting. I know, I've been there. You guys heard the story of my father, where for 4 years I carried this pack around. But yet, let me tell you, once I forgave him, oh, it felt like I could run. I felt free. If you have your Bible, turn with me to Ephesians chapter 4. We're going to start in verse 25. Now, at first, this passage of Scripture, there's so many different passages I could have read. There's so many different stories I could have read. Gary told you some of those stories today. I mean, read the Bible. The Bible is filled with countless stories of people who were in bondage and who were freed. But today, the portion of Scripture that I want to read to you is a portion that doesn't really talk about forgiveness until the very end. But I believe all the things leading up to that all help us and would help our family to know, hey, these are the things that I can do to lead myself towards forgiveness. Let's read it. These are wise words that everyone needs to follow. Ephesians chapter 4, starting in verse 25. Therefore, each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to your neighbor, for we are all members of one body. In your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry, and do not give the devil a foothold. Anyone who has been stealing must steal no longer, but must work doing something useful with their own hands, that they may have something to share with those in need. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who will listen. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you are sealed for the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another. Forgive each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. So when we look through this, it gives us several different points of how we should follow as people, how we should follow as a family of God to each other, rules that we should follow in our own home, with our own kids, with our own family. The first thing that we see in verse 25, it says, don't lie. Don't lie. For some reason, our kids at such an early age learn how to lie. I don't know if it's because this world teaches them that or what, but they learn that so early. And the only thing it does is lying only breaks down trust. Trust is one of those things that it can take 2 seconds to destroy, but several years or decades to build back up. Don't lie to one another. Always be truthful. The second thing that we see, and this is so important, don't sin in your anger. Whenever we are angry, and a lot of times we get angry with the people that we love the most, maybe your spouse or your kids. This is a rule that myself and my wife Tiffany always follow. Sometimes it's really hard because sometimes we get in an argument at like 2 o'clock in the morning and I'm thinking, I just want to go to bed. But we stay up and talk it through. Because if you allow the sun to go down in your anger, what happens is that time will only make that anger get worse. And so for Tiffany and I, we make sure that we are on the same page and that we talk it through and that both of us are okay. And then now we can close our eyes and go to bed. Maybe you're angry with somebody else. Maybe you're angry with someone now. I encourage you to do the words of God. Don't allow another son to go down in your anger. If there's someone in your life that you're angry with, maybe you need to pick up the phone and call them and say, hey, I forgive you. Or maybe you need to pick up the phone and call them and say, will you forgive me? or pick up the phone and call them and say, hey, this is the anger that's been in my heart because of something that you've done. Can we talk it through? It will bring freedom. There's a difference between righteous anger and sinful anger. Do you know twice in the Bible it says that Jesus was angry? We all know that Jesus never sinned. That's righteous anger. The study that I showed, or that I had in talking about the anger that Jesus had both times, when he was angry, when it said he was angry, right after that, he used his emotions to heal. It showed me the difference between righteous anger and sinful anger. Righteous anger is you take that anger and your emotions to then help or to heal. Sinful anger, you use those emotions to destroy or to tear down. The next one that we see is don't give the devil a foothold. There are many times in our life, maybe through bitterness or anger or unforgiveness, guess what we're doing? We're giving the devil a foothold in our life because he has a hold of it. Because we know it doesn't come from God. And so he has this hold and he keeps on trying to dig a little bit at a time. And so here it says, don't give the devil a foothold. Don't allow him to have the foot in the door. Don't allow the door to even be cracked open just slightly so the devil could be at work in your life. You see, he uses any part of that anger or bitterness or rage in your life to stir it, to build it, to grow it. Next one that we see is watch your words. It goes back to what we shared last week in the blessing. What are the words that are coming out of your mouth? Are they words that are tearing others up, building others up, or tearing others down? We need to have the words that encourage and build and bring life, and not words that bring death. Many times, unforgiveness might start because of a word that comes out of your mouth or someone else's mouth. Watch the words that you say. What if everything that we say, what if we think before we say it and we ask God, Jesus, what words do you want me to say? Jesus, do you want me to say it in this way? What if we constantly have a Jesus filter? Man, that would solve many problems, wouldn't it? If we always turn to Jesus and say, Jesus, will you give me the words to say? Because I don't want my anger or my bitterness to speak for me. The next thing that we see in verse 30, don't grieve the Holy Spirit. With all of these actions that we see, anger, bitterness, unforgiveness, it saddens the Holy Spirit. And it hinders the Holy Spirit to do a work in your life of what God wants to do. And the last thing that we see is a checklist of things to not to hold on to, unholy things, bitterness, rage, anger, slander, malice. And at the end of it, it says, now forgive one another, just as God forgave you. It's not my words. This is a command from God himself. To forgive. But maybe You're saying, but you don't know what happened to me. You don't know what he or she did. You're right, I don't, but God does. Miss Havisham, the memorable character from Charles Dickens' book, The Great Expectations. Maybe many of you read this, but her pain was great because on her wedding day, her groom ran away with another woman at 8:40. Her life stopped when that happened. And every clock was stopped in her house precisely at the fateful hour of 20 minutes till 9. She was holding on to this unforgiveness, this bitterness, and this anger towards the groom that ran away all of her life. She lived in seclusion. Her wedding cake and feast lay rotting still on the table, and she continued to wear the now fragile dress and wedding veil. And in the book, the main character, Pip, wonders why, and this is what Miss Havisham says. She says, on this day of the year, long before you were born, this heap of decay was brought here. It and I have worn away together. The mice have gnawed at it, and sharper teeth than the teeth of mice have gnawed at me. You see, this teeth she is referring to that has been gnawing at her is the teeth of bitterness and rage and unforgiveness. Has the clock stopped in your life? Is there a situation that happened in your life that you feel like it has stopped your life and you can't go forward? Maybe you're like Miss Havisham and you're holding on to this bitterness and rage, this unforgiveness. Three practices that we need to embrace with one another. Three practices that you need to embrace with your family. First one, be kind. If we're just kind to one another, if we speak love to one another, it's going to help so much. Be kind. The second one is be compassionate. We need to show compassion. Means to show grace, means to feel what the other person is going through. Be kind, be compassionate, and the third thing that we see is we need to be forgiving. You see, I say this on every wedding that I do, but when people get married, none of us are perfect, which means your spouse, and at the time they're looking and gazing in each other's eyes on their wedding day. And I tell them, there's going to be times when you're going to hurt each other. And during those times, make sure you forgive. Why? Because Christ has forgiven you. Forgiveness is a costly activity. It is. When someone sins, they create this debt, and someone must pay it, right? When someone has done something wrong to you, they created this debt, and someone has to pay it. And that's what Jesus did for us, didn't he? God has only one solution to the problem of human sin, and that's the act of forgiveness. Jesus died on the cross for our sins to forgive us. And the Bible says, Jesus says, how can I forgive you if you don't forgive others? You see, Jesus paid that debt for us, for our sins, because we have let him down. He has paid that debt for us. And now he is calling us to pay that debt for others. It's costly. But Jesus paid the price, and he's calling us to do the same thing. Do you know that there's a direct connection between our spiritual and even our physical health and forgiveness. Studies show that when we forgive, it helps our entire being. It helps our health. It helps our spiritual health. When there is unforgiveness that someone is struggling with or is dealing with, it almost creates this distance between them and God as well. Because God is a God of freedom. Maybe today you're using some excuses that I have used many times. Maybe today you say, but Paul, you don't understand, the hurt is too big. Actually, the bigger the hurt, the more you should want to get rid of it. But you don't understand, it's not fair. You're right. Forgiveness isn't fair. That's the point of it. It's called grace. But you don't know how bad he or she hurt me. Forgiveness is the only remedy to stop that pain. And if you don't forgive, you're still going to carry around that pain. Oh, but I have to heal first, then I can forgive. That's actually the opposite, because research shows that forgiveness brings healing. And so you forgive first, and then it can bring healing. Well, I can't forgive because I can't forget. Well, you'll never forget until you forgive first. Oh, but time will heal. That's false. Don't let the sun go down on your anger. Time heals nothing. Time only makes it worse. The only thing that heals is forgiveness. But where's the justice? It's on the cross. I don't think I have the strength to do this. You're right. You don't. I didn't either. But Jesus is stronger than you. He's stronger than me. And he's leading you. He's leading us towards a direction of freedom. Maybe this morning, maybe it's not forgiveness, but maybe it's this anxiety that is weighing you down. Maybe it's something in your life that has a hold of you, that's filling your pack. My question is this morning, what is that? What is it in your life? Maybe it's a sin. Maybe it's a worry. Maybe it is an anger or bitterness. Maybe it's an unforgiveness that you have towards somebody else. We hold on to so many things. And I know how it goes. I grew up in a church. I grew up as a pastor's kid, which meant there's many times in my life as a kid when I walked into church and I was hurting inside. But when people saw me, I felt like I needed to put on a front and say, oh, everything's great. God showed me I didn't have to do that, even as a pastor. I'm not that type of pastor. We're not that type of church. We need to be real with one another. There's something that you're struggling with. Share it. We want to pray with you. We want to be there for you. If there's a sin in your life or an unforgiveness that you have that's holding you down, talk to someone. It can only help. So this morning as we end, here we have special pieces of paper here at the altar, and we have pens that you can write with. And we are going to have a nail pounding service. And so I encourage you, if there's something in your life, Maybe something you've been holding on for too long. Maybe something you've been holding on for a couple of hours, which I would say is too long. Maybe it's something you've been holding on for a couple of decades. Something that's weighing you down. You can come, take one of these thin pieces of paper. Make sure that you use one of these special pieces of paper, not your own. But take one of these pieces of paper. On the back part of the altar is a flat piece of wood where you can write and just simply write a word or a couple or whatever it may be of something that you're holding on to, that you're bringing to Jesus, that you're nailing to the cross. And when you do that, I already on this cross, we already have a bunch of holes in the board that can help you. So find one of those holes and grab a nail. Myself and Pastor Wick will be here to help you if you need to. And there's a couple of hammers. So just take one of these pieces, write on there. So I'm going to come up and I'm going to write anger. And then just take it and put it upside down and put it on this on the cross. And I find that nail that helps you. And all you have to do is just a couple of taps to nail it in. But we encourage you to come and to move in the direction of freedom this morning. And to take one of these pieces of paper and write something in your life, a sin, an anxiety, an unforgiveness that's holding you down. All we ask is when you come, you can come from both angles. We have three different hammers here, but be patient with one another. But as we fill up the cross, we're going to start in the center and we're going to spread it out. And so come and find a paper that's close to the center and then go off of that. So it's kind of the papers are touching one another. So we're going to play a song during this time that's going to continue to go through. And so I encourage you, what is it in your life? Is God calling you to come? There's a sheet of paper here, and the song will be playing through the speakers. But will you come, and will you write a word down, write something down that you're struggling with, and let's give it to Jesus. Thank you.